Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
So I want to ask you about something that's in the news a lot right now. You've been really prolific over the past few years being the head of the Intel Committee, and you've defended, promoted, you even read into the congressional record the Steele dossier. And we know last week the main source of the dossier was indicted by the FBI for lying about most of the key claims in that dossier. Do you have any reflections on your role in promoting this to the American people? And to be clear, he was fired halfway through the campaign. But you may have spread Russian disinformation yourself for years by promoting this. I think that's what Republicans and what people who entrusted you as the Intel Committee chair are so confused about your culpability in all of this. No, I think just your credibility is.
I love that. If you didn't hear it earlier this week, we played it. That is Morgan Ortegas on The View filleting Adam Schiff, who helped to spread the ideas that the Steele dossier was legitimate, that there was collusion between the Trump administration and Russia. And we have now, as we roll into hour number two, Friday edition, Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show, encourage you to go subscribe to the podcast. Make sure you don't miss a minute. Morgan Ortegas, who you just heard right there, taking down Adam Schiff. And Morgan, I have to say right off the top here, thank you so much for doing that, because almost no one will say anything to Adam Schiff that requires him to stand up and acknowledge what he spent years spreading. And somehow doing it on The View made it even better, because he thought he was going in for probably a very lightweight interview, and you were just standing there ready for him, dunked all over him. So thank you. And was that a difficult decision to make in The View context when you're guest hosting, or how did you come to go after him that aggressively and that well?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. Congrats on the show. I have to say, it's so nice to hear the Rush Limbaugh music. It like brings me back to the last 20, 25 years of listening to him on the radio. So congrats to you guys.
Thank you.
So I got to say, the producers at The View, the whole team was amazing, really amazing. They were kind, supportive the whole week. And Tuesday was the second day I was guest hosting, and I spoke to the producers the night before, and we were talking about questions for the next day. I said, listen, guys, you know, this is someone who, you know, a lot of people have been upset with for essentially spreading Russian disinformation for years, and I think he needs a tough question. And I said, so when it comes to my question, and I said, you know, this is kind of where I'm headed, what I'd like to ask. And again, all credit to the producers. Everybody said, you know, absolutely, Morgan, we want you to feel like, you know, that you can ask tough questions. And they knew I would do it in a respectful way, because that's how I am. But, you know, one of the pillars and of our democracy is that we are able to hold all of our leaders accountable and ask tough questions of them. And so, like I said, I will be honest. I said this the other day on Fox. My hand, I noticed, and I don't get nervous easy. I don't know why this happened, but my hand did start shaking a little, and Sunny Hostin gave me she was very kind and encouraging in the commercial breaks, because I sort of thought, well, this is it, right? Like, there might not be another moment to question him, and I need to make sure I land this, because he's a smart guy. He's not a dummy, right? He's a professional politician, and so I just wanted to land it, you know, again, not on behalf of Republicans or conservatives, forget all that. I wanted to land it because this is someone who, you know, promoted, defended, read into the congressional record a dossier, which now, you know, the main people that are the sources of that dossier have been indicted. It's not only looks like it was lies, it may have been full on Russian disinformation that started, you know, an investigation into the president. Wasted a lot of taxpayer dollars. So, you know, there's just a lot that needed to be held accountable for. And the little quip at the end, I just, you know, couldn't help, because I was sort of hoping, and I know this is probably very naive of me, I was sort of hoping that as a public servant, he would take the moment to say, you know what, I was wrong in the dossier. And he can still defend, right, all of his actions that he feels like that he needed to hold President Trump accountable for. Fine. But there's just no moment of self-reflection and no moment of saying, yeah, I might have screwed that one up, I just kind of got irritated. And I was like, well, you know, this is why your credibility is in question, my friend.
Hey, Morgan, it's Buck. You know, I remember when you were working with Secretary Pompeo and under the Trump administration in your role as a spokesperson, right, dealing with the press constantly. And so you were very much feeling the incoming all the time about Russia collusion delusion. And I'm just wondering if you have in any way picked up from the press corps, and maybe more specifically the people that cover the diplomatic press corps, is there any embarrassment at how many of them went for this, even if it's private? I mean, do any of them feel like they have betrayed their craft by being so wrong on something so important, which was the lie used to undermine Trump for really all of his presidency? Or was it just a tactic, and so it doesn't matter to them that it was wrong because they were just trying to defeat Trump and it didn't matter what they had to do to get there?
So I will say that some of the people that I still talk to and have relationships with say, oh, I never fell for it. I never promoted that. And I just sort of smile and say, okay, sure, whatever you want to believe. And then there are some, not many, but there are definitely some well-known mainstream journalists that were questioning this and that have expressed to me privately that they were very frustrated that they could not score an interview with Congressman Schiff for his new book. And I'm not at all talking about right of center journalists. I'm talking about very mainstream journalists that, you know, that wanted an interview and could not get one because they're known to be tough reporters. So that's why I said I didn't feel like in the moment that I was questioning the congressman on behalf of a party, or, you know, was questioning him on behalf of everybody who sort of wanted some answers. So I think, you know, listen, when we go, and Buck, you know this better than anybody, given your time at the CIA and elsewhere, you know, when you start to talk about Russia, it's really frustrating from a policy perspective. And it's frustrating for foreign policy and national security professionals like you are, Buck. You know, we know that for 8 years, the Obama administration not only really ignored the threat of Russia. They, as we all famously know, they mocked Mitt Romney whenever he tried to warn them about it. And then what happened? Of course, Russia invaded Crimea. That was on President Obama's watch, and we essentially did nothing to stop that. And there are news reports, actually, just yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, that the Biden administration is warning our European allies about the Russian buildup of troops. They think that potentially there could be another invasion into Ukraine. This is on the backdrop of the Biden administration essentially allowing the Russians to complete the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which will make Europe basically entirely dependent on Russian gas. It will undermine Ukraine economically and, you know, with their territorial sovereignty as well. And so in our administration, we were putting sanctions on Russians. I was in the room with Mike Pompeo and Putin and Lavrov multiple times. And trust me, I saw one-on-one in that room how tough Mike Pompeo was with them. It was a side of him that you do not want to get on the side of whenever he is incensed over something. So, you know, you've got a group of people that were also senior officials in the Obama administration for 8 years that are now running the Biden administration. It's the same group of people. They were soft on Russia for 8 years. Now they've allowed them to build Nord Stream 2. They're supposedly warning our European allies, look, the Russians might invade. Well, what the hell is anybody going to do about it? And that's the difference under President Trump, right? China and Russia knew, well, this guy might be a little crazy. He like might actually stop us from doing, these reckless things that we'd like to do. And I think it's not out of the realm of possibility that under 4 years of a Biden administration that you could see another Russian invasion into Ukraine. You could potentially see, you know, maybe post-Olympics, a Chinese invasion of Taiwan. Biden administration doesn't think that's going to happen. I hope they're right. If I was, you know, a betting man and I wanted to do it, I'd do it under a Biden administration as opposed to potentially a second Trump administration.
Morgan, what about the irony here that for years we were flogged with Donald Trump is a Russian agent, and the Democrats said, oh, you can't share anything associated with the Hunter Biden laptop. That's Russian disinformation. And the ultimate outcome here is that the Democrats were being used by Russia to peddle disinformation from the Steele dossier, which was infinitely more impactful in its negative consequences for the Trump administration than anything they were ever alleging Trump had done that would have helped his administration. I mean, it's really, we're through the looking glass here, where so often what we're being told by the mainstream media is not just wrong, it's the exact opposite of what is actually taking place.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons that I joke and say that I don't read fiction, because in politics and in international relations, as you know, you don't need to read fiction because you literally can't make this up, right? If you pitch this whole story to a Hollywood producer, they would laugh at you and say this is too unbelievable. And what I think is, you know, the things that worry me is the Democrats talk a lot about our institutions and whether our institutions are withstanding pressure and all those sorts of talk, right? Well, if you look at, I encourage your listeners to Google Eli Lake and look at his recent article in Commentary Magazine. When you start reading, Eli, for me, pieces it together better than anybody. And when you look at both the Horowitz, the FBI IG investigation and the Durham investigation, you know, the Horowitz, they sort of painted the FBI as being a victim of, you know, Clinton campaign operatives and tactics. You know, I think that that's letting the FBI off a little too lightly. And what you look at here is that we may have essentially campaign, material from a rival campaign. That was essentially used by the FBI for those FISA warrants to listen in on the Trump campaign. So that is a Democratic campaign going to the FBI to spy on their political opponents, right, by misleading the FBI. So if you want to talk about our institutions withstanding pressure, using the FBI, using intelligence agency, intelligence community resources, government resources, millions of dollars in taxpayer money to go after your political opponent, I mean, that's pretty darn crooked.
Morgan Ortegas, no, former State Department spokesperson. And Morgan, always great to have you on. Thanks for being with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Talk soon.
Put 10 people together, and out of that group, at least 3 of them will tell you they suffer from everyday pain that won't go away. It's happened to them as a result of aging, exercise, overexertion, or just the effects of everyday living. It's that simple. What's not simple is how to relieve that pain and really make it go away. The solution may well be a product called Relief Factor. Created by doctors and perfected over 15 years of scientific research, Relief Factor was made for those of you with chronic pain. It's got 4 key ingredients, and Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free product which addresses joint pain, knee, hip, back, neck, and shoulder pain. Hundreds of thousands of people have ordered Relief Factor, and about 70% of them go on to order more. So if you're currently in pain and you have a 7 in 10 chance to eliminate it, those are pretty great odds, right? I mean, what do you have to lose, Clay? So many folks getting great results.
No doubt. And that's why you need to join the more than 500,000 people and order the 3-week quick start right now for only $19.95. You can go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to get the $19.95 3-week quick start developed for you. Relieffactor.com, or you can call 800-4-RELIEF. Relief Factor. Feel the difference.
If we do get a fifth wave, it won't affect the entire country equally because the places hardest hit tend to have low vaccination rates. Well, yeah. At this point, staying unvaccinated is like wearing a Yankees hat to a Red Sox game. You're probably going to end up in the hospital, and it's your own damn fault.
Welcome back to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. I know that Stephen Colbert, I'm amazed when I walk to the radio studio here, Clay, because it's pretty close to where the Colbert Show is filmed. And they have a live studio audience. And lots of folks will stand out in line for feels like hours to go see this very unfunny late night show that they do over at the Colbert thing. And here's the problem they're going to run into. The numbers are going up in places with substantial vaccination rates, places like New York, California. Gavin Newsom already said aloud, he's now back out in public, people know where he is, that there's a seasonality to this
virus.
Oh,
you think?
Which we were saying when everyone was pointing to Florida in the summer months.
Yes.
It's like, oh my gosh, Florida, look at how terrible things are. But I do think there's a little bit of a rising anxiety right now among a lot of people who have really believed that the Fauciite, you know, regime will protect them going into this winter. There's going to be a big push to make people get boosters. I think a lot of folks are going to be who are not at high risk. Again, my parents already got the boosters. Your parents got the boosters. I'm not, you know, we are very clear about this. Boosters for people who are at high risk, because even, you know, 6 months of added protection may be really, really helpful, especially for the possibility of getting like this Pfizer pill and some of these other therapeutics coming online. But for a lot of other people, it's going to be a why am I going to get the booster situation? And you may see cases rise dramatically. You may see hospitalizations and unfortunately even deaths start to go up a lot because the people that have been telling us all we have to do is listen to Fauci are once again going to be wrong.
We do not have a pandemic of the unvaccinated. And that has been their storyline, that if the whole country were vaccinated, that COVID would go away. And the data out of Vermont and the data out of New Hampshire and the data out of Maine and the data out of all of these different northeastern states that are now seeing a skyrocketing case overall of COVID, those people are overwhelmingly vaccinated. And this is what we've been saying for months on this show. The Biden administration has been selling the idea that the only reason COVID still exists in America is because some people are choosing not to be vaccinated. Now, they're not considering natural immunity. They're not considering all of the people who have already been exposed to the virus. They are saying jabs in arms, jabs in arms, that will solve everything. It's just not true. And Buck, I legitimately wonder, what's the overall number of shots that are going to ultimately be required in order to be considered fully vaccinated? Let me give you an example. The NBA now is saying that if you have been vaccinated, the National Basketball Association, you are not considered to be vaccinated unless you've also gotten your booster. So they are requiring, news came out today, come out prior about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, the one that you got, the Spirit Airlines of the vaccine community, which, by the way, what it has like a 13% efficacy after 6 months?
Yeah.
What's the number now?
It's really a temporary, you know, immune boost that goes away very rapidly. But I got those natural antibodies, baby.
Well, you're lucky in that respect. But how long is this going to go on, in other words, where you're not considered to be vaccinated until you get a booster? Is it 5 shots? Is it 6 total shots?
This is
7 shots.
We're entering the period now where we're going to have to make a decision as a society. Is this forever COVID? Meaning,
yes,
there are shots and vax passports and vax requirements for kids to go to school and all this every year, effectively abandoning our approach to generations dealing with the flu and acting like we should take a totally different approach, a much more extreme one for COVID. That's what we are facing right now.
There's no doubt. And there's also no doubt that you can get hooked up with an incredible deal right now. Our buddy Mike Lindell is offering his MyPillows. Yes, the ones that started it all for the lowest price ever. You can get a standard MyPillow right now for $19.98. They're originally $69.98, $50 savings with the promo code Clay and Buck. How do you get hooked up? Well, you should also know you have a money-back guarantee until March 1st. That's a long time. All you have to do is go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener specials, enter the promo code Clay and Buck. That's our names. Or you could call 800-792-3269 for great radio specials. Also, tons of great gifts for holiday season. My wife just got my slippers for all of her running group buddies. They love them. You will too. Get hooked up with everything right now. MyPillow.com. Use the code Clay and Buck today. Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Encourage you to check out clayandbuck.com. You can listen to the show live there. You can also see all of our different interviews, and we'd like for you to go subscribe to the podcast. One of the 5 or 6 biggest podcasts in all of iHeart. We thank you for downloading. iHeart's the biggest podcast company in the entire country. I think in the entire world. and we are one of the five or six biggest, which is really saying something because it also is a radio show. But you can make sure that you never miss anything. I know a lot of you are going to be on the road for the holiday season. You're going to be out and about driving around. Maybe you want to listen to old episodes of the show, find some guests that you may have missed, find some segments that you may have missed, may need to be entertaining yourself. Go to clayandbuck.com. You can see the podcast there. You can certainly Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, all those places. Search out Clay or Buck and you will find the show. Subscribe and give us 5 stars. I'm going to be on the road in about 3 hours, Buck. I'm in charge of all 3 of the Travis boys. I am taking them to Knoxville this weekend. Number 1 Georgia Bulldogs coming to town. Neyland Stadium. I'm going to have my 13, my 11, my 7-year-old, all just for me. My wife gets the weekend off. And she's also convinced that I cannot handle, even at those ages, 13, 11, and 7, all 3 boys by myself. Are you optimistic that I can handle them all?
See, I haven't seen you and the missus and the kids interacting yet, so I don't even know the basics of, like, which one of you is the softy and who's the disciplinarian?
I'm definitely the softy. She's
You're
made
softy.
Way tougher than I am.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I let them get away with everything. Now, they also, as a result, I don't know if this, I think this is just a kid thing in general. They don't believe me no matter what I tell them the weather conditions are going to be. Like, it's not going to be particularly warm. So this morning I was getting my kids ready for school and I was saying, hey, get your bag packed. You know, I let the 11-year-old and the 7-year-old pack their own things. And I said, you know, we're going to be in the hotel. We're going to the game. It's not going to be warm. And they refuse to believe me when it comes to weather as to what they're going to feel like in the stadium. They won't listen. And so, I'm having now to pack for them jackets because if they're freezing, then I'm going to get blamed for it because I'm the dad, even though they won't listen to me. And my wife is just convinced, you know, with following them around and having them at the tailgate show. And by the way, we'll be at Calhoun's down on the river for the Big Noon kickoff show. It's a cool place down by where the Vol Navy is set up. People come in on boats for the game. Should be great. So we'll be there 10 to noon tomorrow if people want to come by and say hi. But she's convinced, like, I'm going to lose a kid and not be able to return with all 3.
I have substantial faith in my co-host that he will both return with all 3 of his children and there will be no, you know, frozen fingers or toes involved either. I think it's going to be all
fingers
fine.
Crossed.
I have substantial faith here. So there you go.
What are you doing this weekend, by the way?
Just hanging out, man. Just hanging out. I'm going to go with some friends to the Dave Matthews concert, actually, even though he's a commie, but, you know, his music is good. It reminds me of my youth.
Have you, I'm curious on this, I don't think I've asked you, have you had a friend yet in New York City? We know you got vaccinated, so you have a vaccine card. I was talking to some friends in L.A., and they said, Clay, the number of people with fake vaccine cards all over L.A. now, because you have to have them to get in bars and restaurants, they're like, it's an epidemic here. Have you had a friend or someone that you know confess to having a fake vaccine card?
Confessed? Are you kidding me? They're all over the place.
Everybody's got them all over New York, too.
I know
too, huh?
Tons of people. I've come across lots of folks with fake vaccine cards here. And I would say, I even talked to someone recently who, and this is not a, like, I have a friend thing. This actually happened to somebody. People go, oh, Buck, you know, it wasn't me. I had a friend whose fake vaccine card was, came up as a topic of conversation on a date, and the other party ended the date.
They were furious.
Furious over the fake vaccine card. Now, you know, I'm not out with any libs on dates, so that would not happen to me. But the point is, this did happen to someone that I know, and I was sort of, you know, amazed that that's how intense it is. But you're seeing it all over New York City now. I assume it's the same in LA and other places where, you know, the Democrat Fauci mentality has just been running wild all along.
Well, they're asking for snitches now, Buck.
That's
on
right.
On this whole process. Like, that kind of ties in with what we're talking about
the
here.
Biden. Yeah, people are going to be the vax Stasi now. The Biden administration is essentially saying that they want people, when they implement the federal vaccine mandate, they want people to come forward and explain, you know, if someone out there is actually not enforcing it, or if they have, you know, fake vaccine cards or something like this. And I just wonder, when is it finally going to break more people that they've had to do all this stuff and been so crazy? Like, I've thought even some of the libs would realize how silly they are. But then again, I mean, I get people really mad at me for making fun of their stupid cloth masks still. So I guess there's no end to this for them.
I think the boosters is starting to break people, Buck. I really do, because I think there's a lot of people out there, even people listening to us, that said, you know what? I'm going to go get the vaccine. I'll listen to the authorities. I want to do my part. Maybe you're listening to us and you're 75 years old. Maybe you're 65, whatever age you are. Maybe you're 19, but you decided to go get that first vaccine shot. But now when they're telling you, hey, the vaccines are waning in efficacy and you're going to have to go get a booster maybe every year, maybe every 6 months for the next several years, I think there's a lot of people who will say, I'll sign up for a vaccine. This COVID vaccine is not really a vaccine. It's a COVID shot. And we've only been getting, 45, 40, 50% of people get the flu shot every year. Way more people got the COVID vac shot.
And what everyone, I think, is going to have to confront at some point soon, too, is that there will be variants of this, just like there are
forever.
With the flu. Every year, there are going to be new versions of this. They're going to have to be updating the shot that you get. Not only will the boosters wane in terms of the antibodies that teach you about the spike, you know, your body's spike protein, all these mechanisms, the new mRNA mechanism, mRNA. Did I say MN?
Yes.
Sorry, mRNA mechanism, whatever. The reality here is you're going to have to get the shot every year. And until we realize that we have to treat this, to go back to normal, we have to say this is to be treated like that we treat the flu. We never go back to normal. And until
That's right.
we decide that, we're going to be dealing with this forever, because there's animal reservoirs for this. It's still spreading. We have vaccines that are not that effective at preventing transmission at all. We've seen this now. So that's why I get so frustrated, because I think for a lot of people, it was fear. And now it's a stubbornness that they don't want to admit that
it's
things that people like you and I were saying all along were true.
No, 100%. And that's why, in the long run, Buck, I think that people are going to come to our side. But is it going to take 5 or 10 years until COVID is basically become acknowledged like the flu, for people to recognize that insisting on kids wearing masks was crazy, that vaccinating 5-year-olds was nonsensical, that all of the data lines up? And that is why the number one story to me about COVID is, how do we get back to normal? And I don't mean people like you and me, who in much part have gotten back to normal in our life, and many of our listeners, but the country as a whole. It's a really, really interesting question that doesn't have an easy answer.
Don't go online, folks, without providing yourself a level of privacy and security. You do that with ExpressVPN. A VPN is a virtual private network. It protects you by hiding your searches. It's as if you're anonymous online. It's a much better way these days to go online, given all the tracking that big tech is able to do and the way they sell your data. Nearly every time you connect on a Wi-Fi network in a coffee shop, hotel, or airport, it's unsecured. That means any hacker on the same network can gain access to your personal data. Remember, your data is valuable. Hackers can make up to $1,000 by selling your personal info on the dark web. ExpressVPN creates a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so that hackers can't see or steal your sensitive data. And ExpressVPN is easy to use. Fire up the app and click one button to get protected. It works on all devices, phones, laptops, tablets, and more. Clay, how do they get hooked up?
It's super easy. You can secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/clay. That's expressvpn.com/clay. And you can get an extra 3 months for free. ExpressVPN.com/clay. Welcome back in. Final segment, hour two. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. I'm Clay Travis. He is Buck Sexton. We are getting geared up for the final hour of the week. 14 hours almost complete. We'll finish off the 15th hour with some fantastic guests, including Selena Zito, who will join us at the top of the next hour. As we're rolling through today's show, Buck Sexton has been in the eye of the blue checkmark brigade storm over his insistence in calling them out over their obsession with masks. And this is just one of the many things that is all tied up in a failure to acknowledge when a factual pattern destroys the narrative. And you'll know this because Kyle Rittenhouse, white supremacist, awful human being, on CNN and MSNBC, he was called a murderer, a school shooter, a 17-year-old vigilante, domestic terrorist, deeply racist murderer. All those things were said. And now people are coming to the conclusion, having watched the trial itself, that almost none of those accusations have been proven in any way so far in a court of law. So there has to be a reason why that is occurring. And guess what? Ely Mistal, who is a lawyer, I believe, has decided, went on CNN, I believe it was, and said the reason why Kyle Rittenhouse may be getting off is because the judge is racist. Listen to this.
So you see what I'm saying? When you put the one and one together, you end up with two. When you put one plus one plus one plus one plus one together, you end up with five. And that's what... That's what Schrader is. He has made a series of decisions. Each one perhaps may be individually defensible, but in totality lead to the impression of a biased, racist judge with his Trump rally cell phone that is trying to get Rittenhouse a walk.
First of all, Clay, we had to correct, I believe, yesterday. We said it's what's the name of the song?
So my apologies to Lee Greenwood and all of his fans. I said that the song was called Proud to Be an American. It's called God Bless the USA, right. And I'm proud to be an American is certainly the refrain that many people recognize that with. Apologies to all of America for that.
Isn't it funny that blue check journos like Mr. Mistal here just assume, as we were joking around, don't you feel like, I was serious about this part of it. When I said, if you see that a judge on a case as a conservative that you're accused of something, if the judge has an American flag hanging from their home somewhere, it's not a guarantee, but you think you're probably in pretty good shape that this person might actually respect the Constitution. It's not even about their politics necessarily. Funny that Mistal here assumes that God Bless the USA means that this judge is like a Trumper judge or something, which is completely absurd. It's a very popular song. But beyond that, he even says every individual decision that the judge has made is defensible because it clearly is. The judge is ruling on things where every lawyer I know is going, what the heck is the prosecutor doing? But because it keeps going in a way that the left and the Democrats don't like, what's the ultimate answer? 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 = racism. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and here's the thing. You can think... wrongly, I believe, but you can think that Kyle Rittenhouse was not entitled to defend himself, in which case his actions could be criminal. That's the question that the jury has to determine. But what evidence at all is there that racism is a part of this story in any way? He shot three white people. Three white people, by the way, with felonious criminal records who were potentially going to do him ill. And we were talking about this off
the air.
One of them's
a child rapist. Can we just, yes. A child rapist.
Yes. Out of jail, by the way. How do you even get out of jail if you rape a child? Here's the other thing, Buck. You and I were talking about off air. You have seen a lot of videos. All of you out there have. From the summer of racial tempest and violence in the streets. How often did you see someone getting beaten up by many numbers of people, right? And so when you are in danger, as Kyle Rittenhouse could have been, of being disarmed, beaten, he might well die. When somebody tries to hit you with a skateboard and knock you down, Buck, you are in danger once you are on the ground if you're knocked out
also,
of
Clay,
death.
I mean, in a use of force situation like this, the fact that you have a loaded firearm automatically, yes. So if I have, let's say I have a sidearm and someone, and all the law enforcement officers listening to this know, and someone attacks me, and now obviously it's different if you're a civilian, you have different training expectations than a cop, but someone attacks me, they go for my weapon.
100%.
If they knock me out, they can take my weapon and execute me and I'm absolutely helpless. So this, it was just a skateboard swinging at somebody's head. They knew he had a gun.
Yes.
What kind of lunatic assaults somebody with a gun unless they intend to use that gun when they get it against that person, right? They're the ones escalating. That's why this is such a clear self-defense case. We're so lucky, by the way, from the perspective of justice, that there's video of this. Imagine for a moment that you were just relying on the eyewitness testimony of BLM rioters in this circumstance, right? They would, I mean, I think that you would probably see young Rittenhouse spending decades in prison because they would say that, you know, he started it, it's his fault. We have video of it that shows what happened. And yet here we are. They're still trying to find a way to make Rittenhouse, now that the facts are out, the bad guy based on narrative, because ultimately they don't like that people would, that individual citizens would rebel against the lawlessness, the intimidation, and the rage of the left, of BLM, of Biden voters, because that's what this was. This was the anger of Biden voters during COVID against Trump and Trumpism and all the rest of it, and creating this BLM movement pretext for going around and destroying neighborhoods and terrorizing people.
What percentage of people do you think believe that Kyle Rittenhouse shot black protesters?
I think it's pretty high. I mean, I couldn't get, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if I found out that 30 or 40% of Democrats believe that Kyle Rittenhouse shot black protesters.
I think it's higher than that. Because, and the reason why I ask this question is because Joe Biden and many other left wingers immediately said, this is a white supremacist. This is a racist. Even that clip that we just played says that there's a race angle to the decisions being made by the jury. I think there is a huge percentage of people out there that were completely stunned as the facts in this case came out that the three people who were shot were all white, and also, I think a huge percentage of people still don't know that they had criminal convictions on their resumes, flak jackets,
I'll just say this. I've covered a fair number of Antifa direct actions on the streets. I've been there as a media person watching and seeing and documenting it. And their expectation is that civilians run away in terror. Their expectation is that they want to destroy your storefront. They want to rampage through your grocery store, your pharmacy. You get out of the way or else they're going to hit you with a brick.
Yes.
That's what they expect. That's obviously what they were thinking was going to happen with Rittenhouse, even though he was armed. They found out the hard way that that was not, in fact, the case. We got Selena Zito joining us here, journalist who just does this amazing thing where she speaks to Americans all across the country and covers the concerns of Americans outside of the D.C. Beltway, outside of the New York City, Northeast, and California media bubble. What are people thinking of this Biden administration on Main Street across the country? We'll talk to Selena Zito coming up about that in just a few.